Well, Sir Patrick Stewart, thank you for your time. And Angus, nice to meet you.
We're done now.
Yeah, we're out. See ya. The Kid Who Would Be King. I mean, an interesting script, an interesting concept, and then the chance to work with each other and for yourself to work with a knight, a real knight. Yeah. Tell me about that moment, that phone call.
I remember it was, you know, I wasn't sure that it was going to happen. I mean, my agent was saying, you never know with these things, you know, they're very keen, but you never know that. And I remember we had the final audition and apparently I was the only person who was left to play Merlin and everyone was saying, oh, it's looking good. But I really didn't believe it until I think probably the first day I was on set, you know, then I thought, okay, we're actually doing it now. But the most exciting thing that happened after that was then being told that I was going to be sharing a role with Sir Patrick.
Oh, so you didn't know that?
I didn't know until, you know, several weeks after we'd been working on the film a little bit. We hadn't started shooting or anything, but we didn't know what was going to be happening, and that just suddenly made it completely real that we thought, my God, we really are making a blockbuster movie here. Yeah. and Sir Patrick's going to be gracing us with his presence.
And you get to play the wizard for the first time, I think, and I don't know whether you've ever had someone playing your younger self before in anything that I can recall.
I've played my younger self.
Yes, of course, you have.
My son,
yes,
my son, Daniel, who's an actor, played my son in one episode of Next Generation Star Trek. Yeah. Called Inner Light, the episode, and it was a memorable, it's many people's favorite episode for many reasons, but mine, because I got to work with my son, who had just graduated from CalArts.
And I guess there has to be an interesting relationship or a formation of one when you have to play the older or the adult or the younger person and the same character. How do you begin that?
I think, actually, there is something a little childlike about Merlin. Yeah. I mean, if we go right back to Mort d'Arthur and Thomas Malory, and that was, what, 15-something, I think, when it was written, there is a kind of childlike quality about Merlin that I've always picked up on. And given that the two of us were trying to blend, we never did on screen because we never shared screen time together, but we practiced it alone. Okay. And I think it was that slight childishness that I took on, and maybe not that he needs any maturity at all. He's got it to spare. But this kind of happened. And that there is something slightly playful about them, which adds a quality of humor in an area you don't expect it.
Are you glad you didn't have to do the naked scene as Merlin? I mean, that went to the younger Merlin and not to the older, yeah, the adult
Merlin. And I thought it was his chance
to
make an impact, and he does. Yeah.
The film is, as I said, this contrast of the medieval story and bringing it into kids, you know, in the double digits, and also beautiful scenery of the United Kingdom. Yeah. Was that fun going to all these places?
Oh, it was magnificent. Actually, that was the bit where you really felt grounded in the film that you're making, particularly for Merlin, I think, because it's his natural habitat. You know, we went to Tintagel, where there's Merlin's cave, which is just underneath the rocks on the beach. It's a phenomenal, sort of like strange place. And
is it all real, or is there a bit of CGI in what we're seeing?
No. The locations, most of it was absolutely real, and we went to Glastonbury Tor, and we went to all those parts of Bodmin Moor and Tintagel. Bodmin Moor is amazing because they've really got, you know, the Paleolithic stones that you see and Neolithic stones that you see in the film. Yeah. They really are there, and there's several different kinds of ones. Some of them I don't think made the actual cut of the film. There's a cheese ring, which are these amazing huge slabs of stone stacked on top of one another, and no one really knows how it happened. And it's a really ancient land, you know, and it feels for Merlin, I think, in the film, who's plunged into a very modern world of, you know, motorways and schools and digital world that he isn't really interested in. To suddenly go back to what he's familiar with is great for him, and it was great for me to experience that, you know.
And Sir Patrick, I'm wondering, your character wears a Led Zeppelin band T-shirt for the film.
Well, we both do.
Yes, exactly.
We are dressed identically.
We play a bit of Led Zeppelin on our radio station. I'm not sure whether that would be your kind of musical taste. Would it be? Any confessions to make here?
I have no comment.
And I also have to ask, I mean, you probably get stopped on the street every day about the captain role, but you also, for me, it's American Dad, Family Guy, and also the extras. I mean, how often do those sorts of unique characters you've played pop up, or is it just captain every day for your life?
To a degree, although X-Men has also taken care of that as well. especially Logan, the last one we did. My life currently is so interesting because it's full of diversity, and I don't want that ever to change, to go away. So while I'm flattered when people say, "Hey, Captain, how are you doing?" which happens all the time in New York. "Hey, Captain."
Really?
Oh, yeah. And yet I'm finding now that I'm more comfortable with that than I ever was, because there are so many other contrasting things. Even the new Star Trek series will be nothing like Next Generation.
You get to grow a little old, and is that 20?
No, the years have passed that have actually passed.
Right. You don't have to be...
So luckily, all that money that Paramount Pictures spent on keeping me young is paying off.
You share a love of Shakespeare, I read, as well. Tell me about... Was that perhaps where the love of acting came and for you as a student of acting?
Yeah, well, at drama school, I loved doing Shakespeare, and I did a season at the Globe and before then in 2015. So when we first came together, you know, to have the chance to work on Merlin with a Shakespeare master, it was like, I think it was just our first instinct. And you know, his way of speaking is it's different from modern language, so it was a good connecting point to tackle some more kind of, you know, verse speaking. It seemed a good place to meet together to try and establish a connection in our two interpretations of the character. So that was what we first did. We did the Seven Ages of Man speech, trying to mirror one another
as a duet,
and it went off okay.
Yeah, I think so.
It was terrifically interesting and enjoyable.
I hope someone taped that.
Yeah, they should have done.
No. You're taping it now.
And I have to ask, of course, the title of the film. We'd all love to be in the royal family one day, or in charge of an empire. What would be the first thing you would do? Perhaps not necessarily in charge of the United Kingdom, because there's a few problems here at the moment, but if you...
Oh, now's the time. I would love to walk through the doors of 10 Downing Street right now.
But King, I mean, King doesn't have any government control. So what would the King of England do?
There are some people in Downing Street who think they're already kings.
So what would King Stuart do for United Kingdom?
Well, for one thing, he would immediately announce that we were remaining in the European Union. and that would basically be that, because right now there is nothing else that I care that deeply about. In the UK than what's happening here. My wife is American, and she is every day distressed by what's happening in the United States. I mean Donald Trump, of course. And it's interesting to compare the similarities between the conditions, why this thing came about, why Donald Trump president came about, and why the exit from the European Union gets closer and closer and closer. They're based on the same sociological backgrounds, I believe. And we're talking about movies. We're not
exactly.
Talking about
we're getting politics. A bit deep. A wizarding power for yourself. What would the first thing you'd like to do as an actual wizard?
As an actual wizard? Well, I think you can't beat turning into an owl. I think that's pretty funny.
Was there many owls that you were friends with on this film, or was there one particular owl? Was it one owl that was?
Did you meet
it was Merlin's owl? No, there was an owl who used to pop in. Bop into shot on a stick. Who you know we'd cut, and then the owl would pop up just to know that I was about to turn into him when I took a leap into the air. But no, I was believing that I was about to turn into that owl. So yeah. To really, really do it, that would be the main thing.
And lastly, Sir Patrick, I know we have to go. I read you once said, "I'm looking for that which makes me happy."
Did I?
You did once say this. I'm wondering, have you found that? Are you on the way to that?
Significantly, yes, I think, particularly in my personal life, my domestic life. But my wife hung a little pottery label on a drawer in the guest toilet of our apartment in Brooklyn. And it simply says, and it's a quote of Voltaire, apparently. He says, "I have decided to be happy because it's healthier."
That's great.
And I look at this, you know, every time I sit on the line, I look at this thing and I think, yep, that makes sense to me.
Well, here's to good health. Here's to good films. Thank you for the good film that you guys have put together for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're very
well.
Great talking to you.
Lovely to meet you. Thank you so much.